Absolute Boner. The Night Shift.
So, yesterday, Australia announced its most significant change in its defence and strategic direction in 20, 30 years. A plan to make the Navy's next submarine fleet nuclear-powered and to build them here in Australia, in South Australia, in Adelaide. It means, of course, that a $90 billion program to build those 12 French-designed diesel-powered submarines is going to have to be scrapped. Why we took on that deal in the first place, I'm absolutely buggered, and I've said that from the get-go. It should never, ever have been a done deal. It's going to cost us about $400 million to get out. There have been out clauses. There are out clauses in most contracts. But anyway, we move further onward and upward. These new submarines, the nuclear-powered, not nuclear-armed, but nuclear-powered submarines, it obviously is a great win for Australian jobs, particularly those in South Australia. Obviously, experts are going to have to be brought in. But just what does it mean to our bottom line? Our employment experts, Graham Wynn, who's been rubbing his hands together in the last 24 hours having a look at this. Graham, I know you're excited. How many jobs is this actually going to create? And most of these jobs, I'd have thought, are going to be specialist jobs, or is it a bit like the car industry? Does each person know how to make a bit and does it roll along?
Morning, Luke. And you're probably right. They are specialist roles. And what will happen with a lot of the people who have already been working on the submarines in Adelaide, the ones which you're going to get rid of, this will actually just support them. So they will be kept on and jobs retained. And there's about 1,300 of those people roughly involved with that. So it's saving 1,300 jobs doing that.
So it's jobs, but not necessarily creating them.
They believe it will create about another 300 jobs because of the specialisation needed to do these new ones. So overall, it's about 1,600 jobs, but 1,300 of those are already in the workplace. So really, it will create about an extra 300 jobs. What their hope is the technology we now start using to do this will feed off into other industries, other areas, to promote those industries, and that will create knock-on jobs. But that's an unknown number, if at all. But around this actual deal itself, about 300 new jobs it'll create.
Okay, so tell me about some of those projected knock-on jobs. What do you predict? I know that the government's going to invest up to $5.1 billion in upgrades to the Hobart-class destroyer. That's their combat management system. What does all that mean?
Well, basically what they're trying to do is saying that we're going to put $6 billion into this Collins-class submarine from about 2026. So it's still a few years to go until this happens. So it's quite a bit in the future and upgrade the Hobart destroyer, as you say. But really, I think what it is, it's about management systems, contract management systems, contact management systems, anything, any companies who use management systems. The hope is this technology will show we can do better management systems, and any organization with a vast number of technologies can use management systems. And the hope is that this will improve that, and we'll need specialists, therefore, to set up these management systems in larger organizations, and that's where the knock-on jobs will come. So it's a wide range of industries, but we are talking a good 4 to 6 years further down the track, realistically, before we start to see the benefit of this.
The $400 million slap on the wrist fine for pulling out of the France deal, it's got to be money that is well left just not spent, because the original cost of those submarines was $40 billion, maybe $50. And according to the latest projections, it's blown out to about $145 billion, and it's late. So what, you just cut your losses, say thank you very much, and we'll go the other way. Of course, we could spend $400 million on importing French champagne. That might make them happy. And then add that to the JobKeeper package.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? But you're right. I think sometimes when you're in these deals, you've just got to realise we're just throwing bad money away now. So we've just got to pull up, cut our losses, get out of it, accept what happens done, and move on. And I think by actually doing this in the long term, we will save money. But certainly it looks ugly right now because of what it's going to cost us, what it has cost us, but it's the right decision to get out of what we're in.
Graham Wynn, our employment experts with us. Graham, working from home, it looks as though it's likely to stay long after the COVID-19 pandemic is over. They reckon before COVID, about 4 to 8% of Australia's working population worked from home. It's now well over 40% over the past 2 years. It's unbelievable. folks like working from home, I think. And the amount of money people are saving on transportation fees, your public transport, buses, taxis, that sort of thing. It turns out that a lot of Australians would be actually happy to take a pay cut to work from home. Your thoughts?
It's an interesting one, this one. And I can say that we had somebody when COVID broke out last year who was a personal assistant in the real estate industry and was offered, okay, do you want to work from home on a permanent basis? And she took a 10% pay cut to work from home because she'd worked out how much money she would save in clothing, travel, coffees in the city, lunches. She believed she would save enough money that a 10% pay cut to work from home, she was still in front. So there's certainly that way of looking at it, that yes, the savings are enormous if you do work from home.
But if you work in an office environment like here, and I don't know, I don't work in this office environment. I get in, there's no one here. I leave in the morning, there's only five people here. But when you have to work, for example, in a team situation, and you can do so much on Zoom meetings. If you're an established part of a team and you went into COVID lockdown and started working from home, you knew all the faces on the screen and it was familiar. But what if you're a new member of staff? You don't know anybody and everybody's at arm's length on a TV monitor. That's got to be hard for team building exercises, hasn't it?
I think it. Long term, it'll make companies less efficient because I agree with you. This working from home, there's loneliness. It means you're not always in front of your computer. You don't know the new people coming in. They don't know you. And it'll create a real environment where people just don't know each other at all. A lot of companies socialize outside of work because they get to know each other within work, which also helps for team, you know, togetherness. That'll stop. So I really think we've got to be careful about pushing too many people work from home who are used to working in team environments. I think it'll have a really negative impact on their attitude, their general performance, because it's not good to be stuck by yourself. People need interaction. They need human contact. You've got to have that to be stimulating yourself all the time. And if we work from home, it's going to hurt that. So I really don't think we should push it too much. Some of the industries, for instance, I'll use like an accountant, for instance, like an accounting practice or an insurance company. Those people usually work on their own in those offices. They could therefore still, in theory, work from home, but then potentially once a month going for meetings, whatever. But companies where there's a larger teams involved, I think it's a real risk to push them to work from home. And one of the other things that came out of the study was that people working from home are actually working longer hours because their employers think they're accessible now more often than when they needed to be. Yeah. So there's that issue as well.
But employers are going to make savings. I mean, you won't need to rent as much office space, will you, Graham?
Exactly right. So office space will dwindle considerably. So
and your electricity bills will go down because you haven't got as many staff in there with the lights on.
Correct. And if people do work from home and they take a pay cut for working from home, the employers will be laughing at this. But it's
Because the employers, the employees are now stealing their own office supplies.
Correct. And their own coffee and things like that. But I think the knock-on effect further down the track is if we dissociate people from a workplace, I think it's going to have a negative impact on efficiencies, effectiveness, productivity. I don't think it's something we should encourage too much. As a certain industry, IT, for instance, they work individually and they can work from home no problem at all in certain IT areas. So I think some industries could do it, but a lot of them, it's a risk to do it. I think we've got to really be careful with this. I think that balance people are talking about, maybe 3 or 4 days in the office, 1 or 2 days working from home, that's an ideal scenario. You've still got that interaction with people. You're still communicating face-to-face with people, but you have that bit of balance where you can work from home as well. I think that's the way to go.
Can I just give you an email that I got from someone who wants to remain anonymous, but he owns a artificial AstroTurf grass company. Mm-hmm. And he said that because of COVID, he now can do quotes from home using Google Earth. He can actually zoom in on a house that wants a tennis court and do the measurements using Google Earth, and he does quotes from home. I'm just saying there are tradies, thousands of tradies listening to you and me now on their way to work. They can't work from home, but maybe they could a little bit.
I think the technology is there to do more from home, definitely. I think we've got a lot of traditions where people want to go out and measure and do everything, but there's certainly technology there we can use to make it that we could work more from home.
Well, let's just say you're a roofer and you, or someone wants the roof retiled, or someone wants solar panels. You could do that using Google Earth. That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Look, and the job that I do and my team can be done from home. You can interview candidates over Zoom or Skype. You can meet with clients over Zoom or Skype. So you could do it from home.
It's not the same.
It's not the same. We like to go to workplaces, get a feel for the people, the environment. You really do need that interaction still. So I think it's about finding that balance between the working from home partly and in the office partly as well.
All right, there you go. It's our employment expert, Graeme Wynn. So the Australia's Navy teaming up with the US, building these new submarines, a fleet of submarines here in Australia. Good thing?
Well, look, I think it's a good thing. I was going to call you that guy up in Sydney, but I would call you Luke.
That guy down in Shepparton. Listen, good to talk to you, Gray. Have a great weekend. We'll talk next week.
All right. Take care, Luke.
There he is. And incidentally, Graeme's working from home. And his partner is thrilled. Thrilled. Goodbye.
Bye, Luke.
And I want to thank that fellow down under. Thank you very much, pal.